بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا صدق الله العظيم. Respected friends and elders, most of the month of Ramadan has passed. We are now into the final stretch, well into the last ashara, in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Ramadan came so quickly and will leave us even quicker. And during this month, alhamdulillah, we would have noticed the changes we made in our lives, the adjustment we made. All of this for the sake of fulfilling the ibadah of the fast and the ibadah of the taraweeh salah and all the other ibadat that we are engaged in this month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us greatly in our areas that we have complete freedom to practice our deen. We don't have restrictions. Plus it's short days, winter months. The fast is relatively much easier than other parts of the world. The month of Ramadan brings abundant blessings. The fast in Ramadan brings abundant barakat and mercies from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among the many blessings of Ramadan, among the barakat of Ramadan, is that a fasting person gets a sense of responsibility. He is aware that he is fasting. He is proud and protective over his fast. He will not break his fast at the slightest opportunity or at any small temptation. No, in fact, he would withstand every temptation. He will be maybe in his workplace or in his daily duties, and he may mix with people who are eating in front of him, who are feasting in front of him. He may even sometimes find himself in the company of some mischievous people who may tempt him also. Why don't you also eat something with us? There is no other Muslim around, but he is still aware and conscious. He is protective over his fast. He does not want to break that fast. Even if he is in seclusion, respected friends and elders, then he ensures that that fast is not compromised. This is a very great sifat, a great quality and barakat of the fast of Ramadan. When it comes to other aspects in our life, when it comes to other acts of ibadah, then relatively we are tempted much easier. Relatively a person would give up his salah, so to say, he will miss his salah at the slightest distraction maybe, at the slightest temptation. A person who is fasting doesn't allow his fast to break, but he may allow the other commands of Allah to break. Whereas this ought to be the spirit with every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we focus on this in this month, if we take cognizance of the development of the sifat and quality within us regarding the fast, then inshallah we can hope to spread this to the other commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as protective as we have become over the fast, we should be equally protective of every other command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fasting person, if for whatever reason, justifiable reason, he may have had to break his fast because of illness, etc., he is saddened by that also. He is sad. When he completes the fast, he is happy. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ. The fasting person experiences two moments of joy. فَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ فِطْرِ. One time when he is happy and he rejoices is when he completes the fast. At the time of iftar, he is happy. وَفَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّ. And the other time he will be joyous and happy is when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, and he sees the great rewards Allah has in store for that fast. But the first part of this hadith, that first joy that a man experiences, a fasting person experiences, is at the time of iftar. Yes, one reason could be because now his hunger is satiated. Now, one reason could be that his thirst is now quenched. But ulama explain another reason why he is happy. Why is the mu'min happy at the time of iftar? He has a sense of satisfaction and joy that I managed to complete this great command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has that satisfaction. He is happy. He has that sense of fulfillment. He is proud of himself in a good way that I managed to complete this fast. When the day of Eid comes, People are happy and they rejoice. A Muslim is happy when the month of Ramadan departs and he tried his utmost to fulfill the right of the month. We could never fulfill the right, but when a man tries and he exerts himself in the month of Ramadan, he made sure he attended the Taraweeh Salah, he heard the entire Quran in Taraweeh, he recited the entire Quran during the day, he fulfilled every fast, then at the end, the crescent of Eid, the crescent of Shawwal brings that joy also, the joy of fulfillment, of satisfaction, that he is happy to have fulfilled the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to a particular sahabi, or mentions regarding any person, any believer, man sarratuhu hasanatuhu, wasa'athu sayyi'atuhu, fahuwa mu'min. That person who is pleased and happy after doing a good deed, and he is sad and hurt after committing a sin or a wrong, then that is a sign of his iman. It is the requisite of our iman that we are happy to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are saddened when we break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected friends and elders, we ought to be proud of every act of ibadah. We ought to be proud Muslims today. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the perfect religion. Every other religion that came before Deenul Islam, came with an expiry date, in other words, was then cancelled out by the religion that followed, and then cancelled and abrogated by the religion that followed. But Deenul Islam is the final religion, is the complete and perfect religion. There is no expiry date on Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself chose Deenul Islam for us. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Allah announced in Arafat, at the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this verse was revealed on that Friday, in Hajjatul Wada, on the day of Arafat, in Arafat, after Asr Salat, Allah revealed this verse, that today I have completed your religion for you. أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. I have perfected my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I have chosen Deenul Islam as your way of life for you. I have chosen for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the universe. Allah who knows every good and every bad. Allah knows whatever is beneficial and whatever is harmful to us. Allah says, I selected. I have preferred. I have chosen Deenul Islam for you. We ought to be proud Muslims, respected friends and elders. Not arrogant Muslims, but proud of our Islam. Happy at our Islam and Iman that Allah has blessed us with. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was the Amirul Mu'mineen. And a Jew comes to him and comments, O Amirul Mu'mineen, O leader of the believers, you have one verse in your Quran. Had that verse been revealed on us, the Jews, we would have taken that day as a day of Eid and rejoicing and festival. Such a great verse. Umar radiallahu anhu asks him, what is the verse that you are referring to? And then he recites this verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is announcing, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. I have completed and perfected your deen for you. I have completed my ni'mat upon you. I have selected Deenul Islam as a way of life for you. Umar radiallahu anhu says, yes, we know this verse, and we know the day, spot and time in which this verse was revealed. It was already a day of Eid. It was a day of Friday, which is the day of Eid. It's at the end of the day of Arafat, when a haji has fulfilled his duty of Hajj and is inshallah being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next morning is the day of Eid. He said, وَكِلَاهُمَا لَنَا عِيدٌ. Both those days are already Eid for us. Allah made it a Eid for us. Allah chose that day to reveal this verse, because it's worth rejoicing, respected friends and elders. Deenul Islam is the religion which people in the dunya envy us for. Those who are aware of the history of creeds and religions, but fail to accept Deenul Islam, they envy a Muslim for practicing on the Deen of Islam. Why not, respected friends and elders? And if you look around us today, this quality of being aware of who we are, what Allah has blessed us with, being happy with our Iman and Islam, being happy at fulfilling the command of Allah, as I mentioned, just as we are happy with fulfilling the command of the fast, every other command of Allah, this quality is much, much needed today in the world. Among the greatest challenges to any Muslim in the dunya currently is the challenge of Islamophobia. With this phobia has been created, think, respected friends and elders, those of us who are still in the Middle Ages, still in our mid-30s or 40s, think when we were growing up, there was no such word as Islamophobia. That challenge was not there when we were growing up. Now, unfortunately, respected friends and elders, no Muslim in any part of the globe is safe from this. Yes, in certain areas it may be to a greater extent, but this world has become one global village. Whatever is happening in one corner of the dunya, in real time is broadcasted and is mirrored to the other part of the world. And people who find themselves in a very hostile environment against Islam, a hostile environment of Islamophobia, sometimes because of being victim of their circumstance. And I'm saying this for us to take a lesson, for us to take, to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has saved us from those environments. And for us to take heed that we should not end up like that. Some Muslims in areas like that, respected friends and elders, because of the pressure on social media, in the normal print media, digital media, and because of the attacks on Islam of various kinds, they give up the Islam. They don't want to be recognized as Muslims. I know people personally, being in areas like this, respected friends and elders, after a certain incident happened, and Islamophobia rose in their areas or in their countries, they shaved off their beards. They didn't want to be identified as Muslims. There are people who are in the workplace. They are Muslim. He's got a Muslim name, but in the workplace he's not known by his Muslim name. He doesn't want to be called by his Muslim name. He may have had a name Muhammad, but in the workplace he's known as Mark. He doesn't want people to know that he is a Muslim. They are victims of their circumstance. Allah make it easy for them. But do we want that for ourselves, respected friends and elders? Alhamdulillah, we find ourselves in an environment where we don't have so much of hostility against Islam. But we are also suffering our fair share in the media. We are also suffering our fair share on social media, etc. Where sometimes you might find a person, because of his business associates, or maybe because of the people he mixes with, maybe because of the institute he's studying and trying to get his degree, because of the environment he may find himself in, he may feel the heat of Islamophobia. Respected friends and elders, we are Muslim and we are proud Muslim. And we are taught to remind ourselves day in and day out. We should be reminding our wives and children day in and day out. Generally, when the topic of Islamophobia is discussed, then what do we focus on? We focus on those who have the phobia. We focus on those who are antagonizing Muslims, attacking Muslims. We are focused on those who are terrorizing Muslims. No, respected friends and elders, let us focus on ourselves. What can we do to prepare ourselves to withstand that test? This is a great test and fitna of our time. And that which we can do is prepare our iman. Remind ourselves, be happy and be proud of your iman. If you are happy and proud of your iman and Islam, then you will never give it up, respected friends and elders. Like that person is proud to fast. No matter what temptation in front of him, he is not prepared to break that fast. Like that, the deen will Islam in totality. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu gave us a great lesson when, as the ruler of the Islamic Empire, he was now for the first time coming to Syria and Sham and towards Palestine. As now the ruler, Sahaba had conquered that land and he was approaching, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu began to walk bare feet, leading his camel by the reins. And he was wearing clothes that were tattered and torn or patched. The Sahabi who was with him tells him, "Oh Umar, maybe you shouldn't go like this. You should dress yourself up differently. The people here may belittle you." Umar radiallahu anhu turns to him, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, "Oh Abu Ubaidah, لو كان غيرك, if it was somebody besides you, then I would have set an example to him. How, you are a very highly ranked Sahabi, so I will not do anything to you. But how can you say such a thing? نحن قوم أعزنا الله بالإسلام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us izzat and respect through Islam. Inna kunna adhalla qawm. In one riwayah he says, we were the worst of people. We were the most humiliated. Then أعزنا الله بالإسلام. Allah gave us izzat. Our respect and dignity lies in Islam. فَمَهْمَا طَلَبْنَا الْعِزَّ فِي غَيْرِ مَا أَعَزَّنَا اللَّهُ بِهِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. Whenever we will go in search of respect and honor, recognition, position, in any way other than the way of Islam, Allah will humiliate us and disgrace us. This is a lesson for each and every one of us, respected friends and elders. Or else the ghair Muslim, the non-Muslim will never be happy. وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. We are not here to please them. Allah warns us that they will never be pleased with you until you follow their creed completely. Until you give up and you forsake your deen, your deenul Islam. The Sahabi Hazrat Ma'qil ibn Yasar, radiallahu anhu, was again with the Romans. And he was eating on the dastarkhan, and a morsel or piece of food, a particle of food fell down, he picked it up like it's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not bothered about where he is. Because we are proud, we believe and we have iman that every amal and every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got immense barakah, immense nur, rahmat, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hidayat. We are Muslims wherever we are, not only in your home, not only in the Islamic country like when he was, no, when he was in a foreign land as well. He picked it up, so those who were near him commented that these people, they frown at this. These non-Muslims here, they frown at what you are doing. The Sahabi says, I will not leave up what I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِهَاُولَئِ الدَّحَاقِينَ, for these kafirs. Why should I give up the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We are Muslims wherever we are. We will read salah when the time comes for salah wherever we are. Unfortunately, we find that sometimes when our environments change, we are out maybe traveling somewhere and we find ourselves in the midst of non-Muslims and the time of salah comes, then we are shy to read salah. Why are we shy to represent our Deenul Islam? Why are we shying away from being identified as a Muslim? Tell me, what's the difference between that person who doesn't read his salah in that kind of an environment? Yes, without becoming an obstruction. But that person who gave up his salah because he's shy, or he doesn't want people to notice him as a Muslim in that environment, and that brother who is a victim of his circumstance, as we were speaking, in the worst of places, in the places where Islamophobia is at its height, and he gives up the wajib of the beard and he shaves his beard. What's the difference? Why will a person feel like that? Why will a person not want to practice on his deen? Is he not convinced? Does he not have yaqeen that this is the way of life that Allah has chosen for me? This is the only way that will take me to Jannah? Respected friends and elders, by us maintaining our Islamic identity, dress as Muslim when you are in the masjid, when you are outside the masjid, when you are in your localities and when you are traveling as well. You are a Muslim wherever you are. You are a Muslim not only in the month of Ramadan, you are a Muslim in every month of the year, in every area of the year. So wherever we may be, we have to practice our Islam, and this is what we have to imbibe in our children. What are we going to leave behind, respected friends and elders? If this is the fitna today, if this is the level of this fitna today, what's going to be for the next generation? If we don't train them that the command of Allah will not be slaughtered for the slightest gain of the world, if we don't train them, respected friends and elders, then gradually one command after another, for the slightest of excuses will be compromised and violated, and the rules of Allah will be broken. Allah save us, a time may come when people might give up their Islam because of the pressures around them. We are taught by Islam, as I mentioned, to daily remind ourselves. Remind yourself. In fact, in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whose statement is better than the one who gives da'wah to Allah? وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, does good deeds. And then the third part mentioned here, وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And he says, I am a Muslim. We are trained to say it. Remind yourself that you are a Muslim. When your child wants to know why can't he do a certain deed, remind him, it's because we are Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen our way of life for us. Allah has decided that is harmful for us. Explain to him that because of being Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually given us privileges. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us. Allah has saved us from the wrongs on earth. When a person is fasting and somebody picks a fight with him, somebody maybe is arguing with him, abusing him, then the hadith says he should tell that person, فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمْ. He should say, I am fasting. One explanation of this is, he should say this as a plea to that person who is antagonizing him, that person who is interfering with him. He should say this as a plea to him, that brother, have pity on me, I am fasting. But the other explanation here, respected friends and elders, ulama explained, is this person should say this to himself. He should remind himself, I am a fasting person, I can't act like this. The same has to happen, respected friends and elders, when any sin presents itself in front of a Muslim, any opportunity to violate any command of Allah presents itself, he should say to himself, I am a Muslim, إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I am a Muslim. Daily, morning and evening, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the sunnats that precede the Fajr Salat, and the two sunnats that follow the Maghrib Salah, in the first rak'at, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite Surah Kafirun. What is Surah Kafirun? Surah Kafirun is reminding us of who we are and how different we are from the people of other creeds and other religions. Although the address is to the kafir, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O you non-believers, لا أعبد ما تعبدون. I don't worship what you worship. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. You don't worship what I worship. وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ. I will not in the future also ever worship what you are worshipping, meaning the idols. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. You are, it seems, not going to worship what I am worshipping, one Allah. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ. You have your deen, you have your creed, you have your religion and way of life. And I have my way of life. Morning and evening, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read this. This is the Masnoon surah to recite every day in these salats. As a reminder that my way of life is different. The way of life of Junaid is different and the way of life of a John is different. The way of life of a Muhammad is different. The way of life of a Mark is different, respected friends and elders. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu, Ya Aba Sa'id, man radiya billahi rabba, wa bil islami deena, wa bi Muhammadin rasula, wajabat lahu al-jannah. O Abu Sa'id, whoever is happy, he is pleased. And as I may loosely translate, he is proud of Allah to be his Rabb. He is happy that Allah is his Rabb. Islam is his way of life, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. This person, wajabat lahu al-jannah. Jannah is binding for him. One riwayah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who repeats these words morning and evening, he says, Raditu billahi rabba. He declares every morning and every evening. Again, a reminder. This is a lesson for us respected friends and elders. It is needed every day of our lives. And more so now in the times of the phobia against Islam. We should remind ourselves that we are Muslims and we are happy to be Muslims. We are in love with our Islam. We are in love with the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are proud Muslims. Three times every morning, Raditu billahi rabba. I am pleased with Allah as my Rabb. I am happy that Allah is my Rabb. Allah is the one I worship and nobody else do I worship. وَبِالْ إِسْلَامِ دِينَا. I am pleased and happy that Islam is my way of life and my religion. وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا. And I am pleased and happy that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my messenger. That person who recites this three times morning and evening, كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُرْضِيَهُ. One riwayah says, Allah takes it upon himself to please him. Allah will please him inshallah in this dunya and akhirah. One riwayat says, دخل الجنة or وجبت له الجنة. This person will enter Jannah. We are even taught that after we hear the adhan, many of us are aware that we reply to the adhan. And when the adhan is complete, we recite Durood Sharif on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the famous dua after adhan, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma, till the end of the dua. But together with that, we are taught to also recite Raditu billahi rabba, wa bil islami deena, wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyya. Why? Adhan, respected friends and elders, is a salient feature of Islam. Is a symbol of Islam. It's a shi'ar of deen. And when that is being proclaimed, when that is being announced, that is being called in the society or in the locality, and we can hear it, then at that time we should say we are happy that we have this attachment to this deen which is represented and which is symbolized by the adhan five times a day. We are happy to be those who are responding to the call of Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and the call of Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala al-Falah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith, respected friends and elders, that every ummati has got his role to play. We understand that yes, the senior alim, the imam, the senior scholar is a representative of Islam, and they definitely are great representatives of Islam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that every ummati of mine is a representative of Islam. Recently, on a visit to my ustad, Shaykh Muhammad Awama hafizahullah, I heard this hadith from him. It's the first time I have heard this hadith. Maybe somebody may have heard it here before, but first time I have ever heard. I never read the hadith anyway. Upon returning, I sourced it. When Shaykh mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ رَجُلٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى ثَغْرَةٍ مِّنْ ثُغَرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Every individual of my ummah is fulfilling a function of Islam. He is defending Islam at some front. Every ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a guard for Islam, is a representative of Islam. What does this mean, respected friends and elders? When Shaykh explains this, he mentions, he says, understand Islam to be like a fort. You have the bricks of the wall, then you have windows on that wall, then you may have small entrances and small doors, and then you have the main door and the main gate. Every part of that fort plays an important role. If the main door is open, harm will come through. Enemies will enter and attack. If the small door is left open also, there will be harm that will come through. If the window is lying open, then harm can come through there as well. If there's a brick missing also, harm can come through there as well. Each one with its due proportion. But every part of that wall is important. Every part is there at the front. Every part is there at the forefront of that fort. Every part is there to defend what is behind that wall. Same here, respected friends and elders. Every Muslim, each one in accordance to his position. Yes, the senior ulama, and maybe the Amirul Mu'mineen, the ruler of the believers, represents the main gate. And then we have others who may represent the smaller doors. And we have others who represent the windows. And we have the general Muslim. The general Muslim like me and you, respected friends and elders, we are also representatives of Islam. We are those bricks on that wall. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith also draws a comparison of a wall. That the believers, al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan. A believer for each other, believers for each other are like a wall, like the bricks of a wall. Yashuddu ba'duhu ba'da. Each one supports the other. If one is missing, then that support is weakened. So every ummati is a representative of Islam, respected friends and elders. Allah, Allah. Thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns us. Allah, Allah. Beware of Allah. Fear Allah. La yu'tal islamu min qibalikum. Islam should not be brought into disrepute. Islam should not be harmed and attacked because of you. This is a very grave warning, respected friends and elders. Yes, we understand when some person who is attached to deen, who has some piety, who has some standing in deen, if he errs, he makes a mistake, then we consider that he has let us down, he has let Islam down, he is misrepresenting Islam. That is correct. But this applies to every individual. If I am cheating in the marketplace, I am letting down Islam. I am bringing Islam into disrepute. If I am ill-treating my employees, then I am a failure to my Islam. I fail to represent Islam properly. Every Muslim is supposed to be a reflection of the Deenul Islam, a reflection of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How you reflect, that is up to you. Here Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam pleads with us. Let's take a lesson from the life of Sayyidina Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. His incident is very, very inspiring and lengthy. He was a great hafiz of Quran. Came as a slave. Allah blessed him with hidayat. He came from Persia. Allah gave him hidayat. And as time went along, he was freed. And then he dedicated himself to the study of Quran. We are currently in the month of Quran. Allah gave him such respect from being a slave. Through his dedication to Deenul Islam and to the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the study of Quran, Allah gave him such a position that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the four top qurra in my ummah, the four greatest huffaz, khudhil qur'ana min arba'in, istaqri'ul qur'ana min arba'in. You want to learn Quran, learn from these four sahaba of mine, from the approximately 124,000 sahaba. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam selected these four as the choice of the Huffaz and Qurra of the Ummah. Three of them are well known: Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, and the fourth one was Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. The first three Sahaba are well known because Allah gave them lengthy lifespans. They had a lot of students and then they became popular in the Ummah. Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu passed away very soon after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never had many students, so therefore he didn't gain that popularity. But he was no less in rank when it came to knowledge of Quran than the other three great Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Such was his dedication to Quran. One night, Aisha radiallahu anha delayed after Isha in coming into the home. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks her the reason. She says, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I heard one of your ummati is reading Quran. And he was reading so beautifully, in such a sweet tone, that I couldn't help but remain there till he completes his recital. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam checked who was it. When he looked into the masjid, he noticed it was Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa, who came as a slave. But through his dedication to Quran, look at the rank he reaches. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is proud. He says, Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala fi ummati mithlahu. All praise to Allah who has put in my ummah people like him. People of his caliber. The Nabi of Allah was proud. We are speaking about being proud Muslims ourselves. We are speaking about being proud and being happy that Allah selected us as Muslims. Here the Nabi of Allah is happy. This is the opposite. Imagine that rank, respected friends and elders. Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa, when he was in his last moments, representing the Muslims on the battlefield of Yamama, the flag of the Muhajirun part of the army was given to him. He was holding the flag. When he was attacked, his one hand was chopped, he held the flag with the other hand. The other hand was chopped, he held the flag within his bosom. And some ulama quote him to have mentioned at that time, the words, respected friends and elders, that should resound in our lives every day. He says, بِئْسَ حَامِلُ الْقُرْآنِ أَنَا إِنْ أُتِيَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ قِبَلِي. The same warning that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave every Muslim, that watch out and beware. Don't let Islam be harmed because of you. Don't bring Islam into disrepute because of you. Salim radiallahu anhu here, holding on to that with the jaws of his life, holding on that I will not let this flag fall. I will be a bad hafiz of Quran. بِئْسَ حَامِلُ الْقُرْآنِ أَنَا. I'm a bad hafiz. If the Muslims are attacked because of me, Muslims are harmed because of me, Islam is harmed because of me, and if I allow this flag to fall. Respected friends and elders, if I am misrepresenting Islam in whatever way it may be, as I mentioned, Islam is not only for the masjid, is not only when you are out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only when you are in good company, Islam is every day of our lives. In every area that we may find ourselves, we are supposed to be the representatives of Deenul Islam. If we are proud to be Muslim, then we will not shy away from fulfilling that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu was being mocked. He was being mocked, and people, the kuffar, told him that shame on y'all. Your Nabi taught y'all everything, even how to go to the toilet. Salman radiallahu anhu proudly responds, yes, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even taught us that. And then he goes on explaining the etiquettes of the toilet that were taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When that attack will be directed towards us, respected friends and elders, only that person whose iman is of that level, that person who is proud of his iman, that person who reminds himself every morning and evening, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. You have a different way of life, I have a different way of life. That person who reminds himself every morning and evening, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. I am happy and pleased that Allah is my Rabb, Islam is my religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my messenger. Then when that attack is faced towards him, he will be proud to respond. He will be proud to be a representative of Islam, respected friends and elders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ulama explain, to help us to maintain our Islamic idea, to help us to withstand this onslaught against Islam, this psychological warfare, this bad air that Islam is being given in the media, a person should do a few things and pass this on to our children. Number one, let us ensure that we maintain our Islamic identity. We maintain our Islamic appearance and garb wherever we are. We wear the sunnah garb. We keep our beard, the sunnah length of the beard, the one-fifth of the beard. We wear the headgear, whether it be a topi, a hat, or a imama, a turban. We keep our Islamic garb with us wherever we are. For the females to keep their scarves on, their niqabs on, dressed in a modest manner wherever they may be. Secondly, spread the salam. Don't feel shy to make salam. What happens sometimes, or not sometimes, all the time nowadays, and most of the time, you will only make salam to the person you know. Somebody you don't know, but you recognize him as a Muslim, you feel shy to make salam to him. Or we do not make salam to him for whatever reason. No, respected friends and elders. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, وَتَقْرَأُ السَّلَامَ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. Make salam to those who you know also, and those Muslims who maybe you don't know, who are not your close friends. Make salam to them. Salam has got this special bond, respected friends and elders. Salam has got this, that it will unite you. You may find yourself traveling in a foreign land, and you recognize that person as a Muslim, and you made salam to him. Automatically now you are paired. Instead of being alone in that environment, now you have company. Now it's easier for you. Now it's easier for you to practice your deen. Maybe you might remind him of salah, or maybe he might remind you of salah. One was shy and the other wasn't shy. But with the barakat of that companionship, now mashallah you were able to read salah. Maybe you could have shared your halal food with him. If not, maybe he would have ended up consuming haram food. There is so much barakat, respected friends and elders, in spreading salam. Salam is not just a statement, not a once-off statement. It's a beginning, it's the beginning of a bond. It's the beginning of a relationship. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, through salam you will enter Jannat. Through spreading salam, you will enter Jannat. That means through spreading salam, you will remain on Islam, inshallah. If you are in a particular area, and you are happy to be a Muslim, you are happy to be identified as a Muslim, then you will not shy away from making salam. And thirdly, respected friends and elders, let us ensure that we stick to good company. We keep the company of the pious, stay in the masjid, stay in the environment of the masjid, and ensure the same for our wives and children, respected friends and elders, that they don't end up in the wrong environment. I don't mean to say the wife should be in the masjid, a new fitna that is creeping up in our country. No, but we should watch and check who are they associating with. Who are our daughters associating with? Who are our children associating with in the real world? And more so in the virtual world, respected friends and elders. Because bad friendship, bad company can rob a person very quickly of his iman and Islam. To hold on to your deenul Islam in a time like this, respected friends and elders, it is imperative. Join the effort of da'wat and tabligh. Come under the banner of some sheikh and some senior alim. Attend the majalis, attend the gatherings of tasawwuf, attend the gatherings of dhikrullah. And wherever we are, lastly, respected friends and elders, make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remind ourselves, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith mentions, jaddidu imanakum. Keep renewing your iman. How do we renew our iman? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, frequently recite la ilaha illallah. Make it a habit wherever you are to make the dhikr of la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is a reminder for ourselves and subconsciously in the heart and mind that we are Muslims. We are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the prophethood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, by holding on to these few a'mal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easier for us to hold on to our deen and make it easy for our children and the generations to come, respected friends and elders, not to compromise the deen in totality or not to compromise any even portion and even one command of Islam. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.